good morning, everybody. So excited to be here. This is great. So part of my talk today will be me with wearing my work hat, my day job hat. And oh, now watch it go away. I tried to set this up so it would not be advancing on its own. If it is, you're going to watch me fight with the screen. So and then part of the conclusion of this will be more of my personal opinion and observations, and I just want to be clear to distinguish them. So I'm going to start by asking you to meet Hercules and Leo. Hercules and Leo, yeah, it's going to keep advancing, so I'm just going to have to keep fighting with it. My apologies. They were used in research studies on primate locomotion. From about the age of three, they were believed born and bred in a laboratory and then leased out to Stony Brook Research Facility in New York from a very, very young age. They were, I think, with maybe one other chimp, kept in a basement lab with no windows, as we understand it, and forced to walk up and back on a catwalk, effectively, with electrodes embedded into their muscles so that we could better understand, so that Stony Brook could better understand, human locomotion compared to chimpanzee locomotion. They stayed there until they were about 9 years old when research ended and Dr. Jane Goodall issued a plea to please release them from that laboratory. They had never known true chimpanzee society. They had never had anything like a normal life for a chimpanzee. And so they were released and they were sent back to the laboratory where they had originally come from and integrated into a social group and brought to Project Chimps. And I'm happy to say that this is Hercules and Leo today, learning how to be chimpanzees here in Morganton. And I'm so sorry, you're gonna get that back and forth on the slides because that automation won't go away. So our mission is to provide lifelong exemplary care to chimpanzees retired from research. Project Chimps was founded in 2014 to provide sanctuary for former research chimpanzees. Gratefully, research ended in 2015 for chimpanzees. We were the last country in the world to end medical testing on chimpanzees. When that happened, there were about 700 chimps in labs all over the United States with no place to go. So the founders, who had been working to end chimpanzee testing and research, said, let's work together. The Humane Society of the United States was one of the principal advocates, along with PETA and many other groups, to stop testing. And they started to put some energy into creating more sanctuary homes than there were at the time in the US. And so Project Chimps was born. And amazingly, these folks, as they were looking for a place to bring, one lab had the largest single population of chimpanzees, and that was the New Iberia Research Center in southern Louisiana, which is an affiliation of the University of Louisiana. And so they negotiated an agreement, which was really unprecedented at the time, to bring all of those chimpanzees, more than 200, here. And they found that there was a former gorilla sanctuary in Morganton, Georgia. So they bought the property, all 236 acres, and began that process of rehabilitating it to be able to bring the chimps. So now we have 59 chimpanzees in the sanctuary, working to get more than 200 there. They range in ages right now from 7 to 34, although the chimps in the lab still waiting to come, of which there are more than 150, range from age 3 to age 51. Chimpanzee can live on average about 32 years in captivity, but some can live as long as 50 years. And Simba, at 51 years old, who I'm told is a very, very animated and active senior, is still waiting to come in for that opportunity. They come on a 700-mile, 12-hour journey from Louisiana to Georgia. We take up to 10 chimpanzees at a time on that transport. The outdoor habitat is 6 acres. As I mentioned, it's a 236-acre property, of which we have about 40 acres in active use. 6 acres is the first of what we hope to be 4 outdoor habitats for the chimps. So you see the perimeter wall, and then these are their chimpanzee villas that straddle those walls, and each side, as I'll show you in a moment, have an indoor climate-controlled side. So when we have our cold days or our very hot days in the summer, they have a place to be where it's climate controlled with air conditioning or heaters. And then on the side that faces into that forested, 6 acre forested habitat, it's an open air mesh. And so they can see into the habitat, they can see the other chimpanzees that are enjoying that because we release them in different groups at this time. And so if it's not their day, they have indoor enrichment activities, and they're watching and they're sunning themselves on the porch and climbing and swinging and fire hose ropes, and generally enjoying themselves indoors. That's what our phase two looks like, where we're going to build three more of those habitats. It is an ambitious program. We have to raise $10 million to do that. It's our plan is to try to accomplish that within the next 5 years. We could not do what we do without a lot of fabulous people. Our chimpanzee care team is a mixture of kind of trained primatologists and folks that have a lot of animal experience, a lot of primate experience. Some have worked in zoos, some have worked in other sanctuaries, and some have just worked their way up from being a volunteer, which is really exciting. We have a number of people that work their way up from volunteer to caregiver assistant to full caregiver, and they do all kinds of things. People a lot of times say, I want to come work there because I want to hug the chimps, which of course intuitively is dangerous because they are wild animals, about 1.5 times stronger than we are, but also because the caregivers have the very unglamorous job of cleaning up after the chimpanzees, as you see Tanya doing on the left. In the middle is Hercules enjoying an enrichment where we put tons of blankets in a huge tub, and the chimps could do whatever we want, and Hercules, being pretty much the alpha in his group, made an awesome nest in that tub. Chimpanzees make a nest, a unique nest, a unique bed every single day. And sometimes they make it out of blankets, some will make it out of butcher paper, some will make it out of wood wool, and some will be perfectly happy just sleeping on a concrete floor. Every individual, just like we are, is different. So I'm gonna invite you to meet the chimpanzees, but before I can do that, or to do it properly, we all need to practice how to meet a chimpanzee, because it can happen. You can come to the sanctuary. So I'm gonna ask everybody to stand up. Take this off. Okay. Now, to meet a chimpanzee, first and foremost, they're not different from us really at all in terms of how much we communicate non-verbally, right? We say 75-80% of human communication is non-verbal. Well, it's the same for chimpanzees. So you know that moment where you walk into, say, a meeting, and you meet that gentleman who's got his arms, you know, his shoulders back, and his chest out, and he lunges forward, and he gives you that firm handshake. Well, that's an aggressive sort of body language. So what we do when we meet a chimpanzee to make sure we're not too aggressive is we kind of bend our knees a little bit, maybe just kind of punch our shoulders forward. It's a little more of a submissive posture. So we do that, and then you extend a wrist. So it's not a firm hand, but it's very similar to like a human handshake. You're just kind of putting a soft hand out in front. And at that point, what you want to do is not do a complete stare down, same thing in a meeting, right? You don't do the stare down to the person you're about to meet. You glance at them. Now, one thing is different is you can relax your jaw a little, because a chimpanzee, when you see full teeth, is a fear grimace. So our big toothy smile is actually fear in a chimp face. So it's a relaxed jaw, you're just kind of slack, and then you do this. Come on, try. Come on, guys. Okay. Now, thank you. You can sit. You are all qualified to come and meet a chimpanzee at Project Chimps. I would love to introduce you to the full 59 individuals that live in the sanctuary today, but that would take more time than we have. So right now we have them in 4 different villas, and so I'm gonna introduce you to the chimpanzees in 2 of the 4, about half of the chimpanzee population. People always ask me, how can you tell the chimpanzees apart? I said, well, it's the same way I can tell all of you apart. After I've known you, now first I might meet you, and then I don't recognize you until I've seen you a couple of times, but then I realize, oh, your hair is darker, or your skin is lighter, or your nose or your ears are bigger or smaller. All of these things, your eyes are, you know, further apart or closer together. All of those things are exactly the same way in chimpanzees, and I hope you'll see some of those differences as we go through. So this is one of the villas, and this shows that porch side that I was talking about. So in this group, we have 9 females, so I'm just gonna let this kind of roll through. This is Hercules. On the first day that he arrived, his companion Leo. They are in a group of 9 males that all came together. There's Ray, who is also kind of an alpha in this group, along with Hercules. Kennedy is a good-sized chimp. These chimps range, they're younger, they're kind of adolescent boys, if you will. Bina, Danner, and then the youngest ones, these are the youngest boys in the sanctuary. Oscar, there he is with his little pile of wood wool. Jacob, who's got a great personality, and then little Kabuli, and he is 7 years old, or just about to turn eight. So I want to tell you just a story about Hercules and Leo. The good news was, when they got back to the New Iberia Research Center, they were integrated into a social group of younger males because they had kind of missed their childhood, if you will. So at 9, 10 years old, they were put with these other chimps that would have been like 6 to 9 years old, who taught them how to play, who taught them how to be chimpanzees and how to behave appropriately to the greatest extent they could, because these chimpanzees, these males, were artificially separated from females in the lab. So what they don't have is they don't have the social skills of how to be in an integrated group of males and females as chimpanzees would in the wild and as we would in our lives. It's like being forever in an all-girls school or an all-boys school. Somehow there's certain social skills that you don't develop when you're in that kind of dynamic. Well, welcome our most recent group of arrivals. We usually bring, as you saw the transport truck, about 10 at a time from the lab. This time, and the first time, we brought two groups, one group of females and one group of males. So about 5 each. And so on the other side, imagine taking this big villa and splitting it right down the center like a duplex, so that each group has the indoor side and each group has the outdoor side, but they're not yet together. So they have neighbors now, these young adolescent chimpanzees, and they are 5 females. So this is Lucky, who has an amazing face. She has vitiligo, and that is something that can happen in animals just as it can happen in people. I'm sure we all know somebody who has that skin condition. It makes her very, very unique looking. She's a little shy. It was tough to get even this picture, but we're getting to know her as she's getting settled in. She just arrived a few weeks back. And she's joined by Chloe and, let's see, Panielle. And we are literally just getting to know their personalities, but this is Harriet. It's a really quiet group, and Betty. So what we will do shortly is begin a process of introducing those two and integrating them. Now I'm going to go on to Villa 4. You see kind of the windows here on the right-hand side. This concrete wall around the perimeter of the what was a gorilla sanctuary has viewing windows. So we have open house events for the public. You can come, they're ticketed events, and you can see inside and see the chimpanzees that are out in the outdoor habitat. We never guarantee it, because the most important thing we want at a sanctuary, because we're not a zoo, is for the chimpanzees to be able to live on their own terms. So if they want to hide, they can hide. If they want to stay in the villa, they can stay in the villa. If they want to come out and press their face to the window and look at you, they can certainly do that too. It's entirely up to them. So in this group, we have alpha female LB. This group has 9 females. LB, Babs, and the next one, Sky, are 3 powerhouse females. They are forces of nature and very strong, have great personalities. They are with 6 younger females in their group that were combined before they came, Almasi and Amy. And it was a little bit of a challenge because these older females were pretty rough on the younger girls at first. But they have worked out their social strata and their hierarchy. Loretta is the lowest ranking in that group. Noelle is absolutely our athlete within the sanctuary, who loves the outdoor sanctuary. And then there's Sarah. Now, they were just joined by Alex in this last transport. 5 males came in, and I want to tell you just Alex's story. Chimpanzees have unique medical histories that are documented and known in U.S. databases. They have tattoos on their skin. They have a number that they are known by, which is sad in its own right. And we can tell that Alex, at 34, who's now the oldest chimpanzee in the sanctuary, has lived in labs that were New Iberia Research Center. You know, you can form your own opinion about any of the research facilities, but there are known labs like Colston and others that have horrific reputations for how they treated chimps before they were shut down by the federal government. And we know that Alex has been in 2 of those. He still has a wonderful personality. He is, I believe he was involved in either HIV or hepatitis C research, please don't quote me, but many of the chimpanzees that were used in research were used in AIDS research. with HIV and also with hepatitis infections, among many other things like the Hercules and Leo story. So Alex is joined by Jermaine and Colin, who looks very much like Hercules if you put them side by side. Low-ranking Ronald, who I love his adorable face, and Kareem. And Kareem is huge, as you will see in this photo. Ronald is not a small chimpanzee. Kareem is a massive chimpanzee. He weighs in about 220 pounds, but he is truly a gentle giant. He is now the largest chimp in the sanctuary. Arthur used to be that, and Arthur's in a different group. He's lost his title there. Kareem bested Arthur by weight by quite a few pounds, but he is absolutely he too, like Alex, has been through multiple facilities, and yet retains a gentle, loving personality. When the caregivers give him food, he will take it and take some, and then he will give it back as a gift. And if you don't take it back as a gift, he will be hurt. You're like, oh, thanks, and put it away. He's like, no, that was for you. And he wants you to know that gift was intended for you. So that kind of, forgiveness, the ability to retain that personality after everything he's been through is remarkable. So to wrap up this part about the sanctuary, there's many ways to be connected. And one of the things that we really enjoy so much about this community is how much support we have from the community. We have, at this moment, I think about 100 people in our volunteer program, of which about, I would say, 70 are very active, which is fantastic. Because not only do we need help preparing 3 meals a day now for 59 chimps, and in this, and someday we'll be 200 plus chimps, we create really complex enrichment items and puzzles for them to keep them mentally engaged because they are so smart. We have 236 acres. We have 40 acres of active facilities that need constant maintenance. So we need handy people to help us do things. We need folks in our administration office to help us with routine things, with communications, because I'm the chief cook and bottle washer when it comes to all of our communications at the sanctuary. Mary and Carrie are two volunteers that we love. Carrie has special needs. Mary brings her in, and they together prepare the food for the chimpanzees. Their reward, in addition to knowing that they did something that really mattered for other beings, is they get to see the chimpanzees outside the window of the kitchen, which they just love. And of course, you can meet them. We have public events, not very often, because again, we want them to live in a sanctuary environment with limited human exposure. But we do discovery days twice a year in May and September. And then we have some other fun. We just tried a first ever in October, a chimp retreat. So that young kids could come affordably. It was only $10 for an adult and a child to come to the sanctuary and have a chance to see the chimps and for the kids to dress up in costume, because some of these chimpanzees you can see here, that on the left, I believe it's either Sarah or Noel. They love the small children and they loved the costumes, and it was an enrichment activity for the chimpanzees to see these little children at the windows. And so again, the other chimps that wanted to stay away stayed away, and that was absolutely fine. So let me take off my Project Chimps hat and talk a little bit about what chimpanzees, in my personal opinion, can teach us about humanity. They remind us that we are all unique individuals with different faces, personalities, and histories, yet we are very, very much alike. They teach us that even though we fight, we should always make up right afterwards. And chimpanzees do that. They teach us that great leaders don't rule by force, but by example. And that is true of the best alpha males and alpha females in the chimpanzee sanctuary. And that goes along that the strongest among us should always be there to comfort the weakest among us. And that's what the great alpha leaders in the chimpanzee world do as well. They also remind us that we are all living creatures with inherent value. So you've heard of racism, you've heard of sexism, have you heard of speciesism? So it's a thing. It's the notion that some of us are biased to believe that some species are inherently more valuable than others. And I would say that mankind is uniquely guilty of this. And if you think about it, why are we horrified when we watch a news story of people in other countries eating dog meat or horse meat as we eat our turkey sandwich? Right? are practitioners of Hinduism not just as mortified at many of us when we eat their sacred cow in the form of barbecued steaks and hamburger? So how do we justify medical research and cosmetic testing on animals? So research ended on chimpanzees in 2015 because policymakers could accept the idea that chimpanzees are very much like us. We're about 95%. As we've discovered the human genome and analyze it, we know we're about 95% the same genetically. So they could get that. And so chimpanzee testing ended, but now monkeys are being used for research along with rabbits and mice and other animals. So which of these species deserves that fate? Which of these is less worthy of relief? There have been dark eras in our past when medical researchers found it acceptable to conduct experiments on African Americans, on Jews, and so-called throwaway people with Down syndrome or physical disabilities. Gratefully, we have recognized the inhumanity in those decisions. And no doubt people in this room, including me, have benefited from drugs that we know came about from testing on chimpanzees or other animals. The question is, was that sacrifice really justified? It is a moral dilemma. For some people, the answer is very clear, and for many of us, the answer is a little more murky. For the record, I'm not a vegan, though my meat purchasing habits have changed and I eat much less meat than I used to. I'm informed by the fact that while human primates, like chimpanzees, who do eat meat, they are omnivorous frugivores, they prefer fruit, but they are known in the wild to eat monkeys and other meat. It is historically comprised a much smaller part of our diet. So today I choose to buy meat from small family farms with humane handling and slaughter practices, but to many, my dietary choices are still murder. I share this not to put a damper on the lunch that you're going to have after the service, but just to say that we're all somewhere on the spectrum of a spiritual path. We're also somewhere on the spectrum of morality with regard to our relationship with animals. And I share this because it's a thought-provoking idea, and what better group to share a thought-provoking idea with than Unitarians? So, Dr. Jane Goodall once said, "The least I can do is speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves." So today, it has been my sincere privilege to share the Project Chimp story, to share my own personal observations about our relationship with animals and the great and tremendous grace that chimpanzees, I think, give us. So. You can find more about the sanctuary. I'm happy to answer questions, but I would encourage you to look at projectchimps.org. We just launched a new website, and there are many ways to support the sanctuary in our support section. We have an Amazon wish list. People buy toys and items for the chimpanzees. Some people help us by volunteering. Other people just follow us on social media and help spread the word. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'm just curious.
Absolutely.
Do they have babies, or you? You put them all on paper?
No, that's one of the number one questions. Absolutely.
And how is it?
It pretty much is, and that is that we don't want to perpetuate chimps in captivity, obviously, is a rule. So the females are on daily birth control, and all the males are vasectomized before they come from the lavery. So with that, we hope to prevent the perpetuating and further breeding of chimps in captivity. It can happen. There are oops babies out there. And so is it possible? I think some of our caregivers would love to have an oops baby. And anybody who's seen a baby chimpanzee, you can't help but think that they are adorable. But obviously that's not our goal, because that chimpanzee could then live another 5 decades in captivity. Yeah, it's a very good question. Are in the wild, and one of the questions I get sometimes is, well, why can't the chimps be rehabilitated and go back to the wild in Africa? Because they obviously were born in captivity, they don't have the skill sets to survive, and as we all know from watching news, the habitat is so threatened in Africa and West Africa, where they are from bushmeat trade, because people are starving, they kill them and eat chimpanzees. And there's a tremendous piracy trade in animals and wild animals, where the parents are killed and the baby is taken and sent to the Middle East or other places that allow that kind of import of chimpanzees. So, but there isn't one particular habitat that they live in Africa. So chimpanzees, like us, are very adaptive. Some of us live in Florida, some of us live in Canada, right? And we all survive. So we have a forested outdoor setting that, that has trees, that has grass, that has opportunities for them to forage. Their number one behavior in the wild is foraging. And so we try, every day we go out and we put food items out in the habitat to that they can go and find and discover and forage. We have some wild blackberry bushes out there, and this time we saw the chimps were starting to forage for the wild blackberries. We, our caregivers, teach them which of the plants out in the habitat are edible by bringing them in even before they ever go out to the habitat to introduce these, what we know are edible native plants here in Georgia. And so then they'll go out and forage for those in the habitat as well. They are, this is the folks that had the gorilla sanctuary originally. So they were divorced, and so the property was sold as a function, I think, of that divorce, and we ended up purchasing the property from them. And so I'm sure they're still passionate about animals. I just don't know what in what capacity that is. That's right. There was quite a controversy when that sanctuary, as I understand it, was first. Yeah, I hear it was very, very ugly. We are very happy that we have had nothing but support from the community so far, that now that folks have lived with us and we've lived with them, that animosity has really not raised itself, at least directly with us in any way, which has been fantastic. Absolutely. Fear of the unknown is something that frequently takes people and controls them in advance of decisions like that. So thank you. Yes, ma'am. It's a great, great question. We have actually caregivers that practice Reiki on their own pets. Within the sanctuary, we try to not have direct human and chimpanzee contact because we want them to not be as dependent on us as humans and to be more dependent on their you know, society, their chimpanzee society. And so there's a little bit of untraining that's going on there over time. Now, that's not to say that they're ignored. But for the safety of the caregivers also, because, you know, you put a finger in a chimpanzee that even is very, very excited and happy to see you could remove it accidentally with their very strong teeth. So we make sure that we have extreme safety procedures and no one can put their hands through the mesh or go into those enclosures with the chimpanzees. We have tickle sticks, though. A lot of the chimps will come up and present their bellies and hang them right there, and we'll tickle them with a tickle stick, and they'll put their backs up if they want their back scratched that day. There is an exception in our policy, though, that if a chimpanzee really needed it for their well-being, then it is possible that we could have some physical contact. But again, it would have to be extremely governed and a rare exception. We want them to take care of themselves. I'll come back to you in 1 second, isn't it? One of the chimpanzees named Precious has kidney disease. So she's going to need some special medications and diet and real attention to her hydration. She's one of our older female chimps and one of our newer chimps in the sanctuary. We know of some chimps that are not with us yet that have epilepsy. So yes, there will be chimpanzees that will require special medical care. We have a veterinary clinic on site. Right now we have an on-call veterinarian who comes into the sanctuary once or twice a week. And then as we grow and as that population grows and as we get more chimpanzees that have special medical needs, we will transitioning to a full-time veterinary staff and probably some full-time vet techs like some of the other sanctuaries. We do, and I'm glad you asked. It varies from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. You know, some people, I'll post something on social media of a chimp like I did a few days ago playing with a giant stuffed animal, and then all of a sudden people will bring in their big hearts tons of giant stuffed animals, of which most of the chimps are like, I'm interested. No, thanks. Others, some of the, and we have this on at the top of our wish list now, really like chimpanzee-like and monkey-like stuffed animals. And so we have some of those. Now, stuffed animals don't last long, just like they don't last long with our big dogs, and even our little dogs. So we're always looking for new items. We create really interesting puzzles where we want to promote the tool use. One of the things Jane Goodall and her research taught us is that chimps are very smart, and they will figure out how to use tools to get termites out of a termite mound. and eat those termites. And so we will do things with peanut butter smears inside containers or tubes or things. And it is a wonderful moment when you see that chimpanzee who, maybe there's one in the group that knows how to do it, and then they learn from that other one, or a caregiver. This happened the other day with Leo. Leo learned the other day to use a stick for the first time in tool use to get peanut butter out of a jar. One of the caregivers showed, he took it and he dropped the stick on the ground, and the caregiver asked him, he presented the stick back through the mesh to the caregiver, and the caregiver showed him, this is how you scoop out the peanut butter with that stick, and gave the stick back to Leo. Leo took the stick, and sure enough, they're doing it. And that will give him the ability to, you know, complete many of the different puzzles and activities that we have with the chimps that promote their natural tool use. I should know that number off the top of my head, and I don't. It is a small number. There are other wildlife sanctuaries. I'm more aware, being only a year into my chimpanzee life, of some of the others here. Save the Chimps is in Florida. Just this morning on the Today Show, Chimp Haven was featured. Chimp Haven takes chimpanzees from federally funded research programs, and there is a difference. The chimps from federal research are going to Chimp Haven, which is a very large sanctuary with 230 chimps already. The other sanctuaries were for chimps in the private sector, either private institutions like the University of Louisiana, or entertainment, where they needed to be retired, because all of the chimps that we've seen in our age, grown up watching in the movies, were all adolescent chimpanzees. And when they hit puberty, most often their caregivers, captors, you call it what you want, couldn't handle them. And we've all heard that horrendous story of a woman who literally lost her face because the chimpanzee who her best friend owned and she had grown up with and who knew her became their true self as a wild animal. And so there are a lot of chimps in private sanctuaries.
You mentioned hepatitis.
Mm-hmm. They're, in some of the sanctuaries, Chimp Haven has a large population already, and so there are some separations that go on of populations. And so one of the nice things about having a plan for four separate sanctuary habitats is we'll be able to do more physical accommodations and yet still integrate them into, you know, proper social groups of males and females. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. One of the things they found when they really upped the breeding programs of chimpanzees for testing during the AIDS epidemic, but what they found was is that chimpanzees, it never progressed into full-blown AIDS in a chimp. It stopped at HIV. So it turned out that all that breeding, all these animals, all these beings were bred to test, and it wasn't going to ever help with the ultimate medications for AIDS treatment or management, as they had. Ed likes the story. Gail was just right. She read my LinkedIn bio and figured out that I must have met Ed working on transportation projects, which is true. We worked together on a high-speed rail project, and he lured me out to the Atlanta area and by saying, well, the job market is very strong here. With that romantic come on, I relocated from Dallas to Atlanta. And so we bought 9 acres in LJ. And I had pretty much just kind of had it with the corporate world and the work that I was doing, which was just not as satisfying to me. So I decided to take a break, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go consult somewhere else. Maybe I'll, you know, do my own business from home. You know, we'll sort of see. But I've been working 40 hours a week since I was 16. I'm going to stop and take a break for a few months. And I was looking for a lampshade on Facebook Marketplace, and I noticed they had a jobs feature. And I thought, well, that's a new thing. And since I do social, I should know. You know, I should know what that is. So let's see what kind of experienced communications managers are needed right here in LJ. And Project Chimps popped up. And they were looking for a social media coordinator, a junior position. And so I looked at that, and I thought, and then you know what Facebook does? It keeps feeding you that thing because you clicked on it. So it kept popping up, and I decided it was a sign from God or Facebook, and it might be the same thing these days. So I listened to it, and I sent them a letter, and I said, you know, if you're interested in somebody with more experience who might help the organization grow, I'd be willing to come and do it. So that's how.
Chimps have long-term memory. Dogs, you can train them. Forever.
My understanding is yes. It's one of the things I would want to ask our primatologist before I give an official answer on that. But my understanding is yes, because one of the things we joke about is that chimpanzees hold grudges, which one would think would require long-term memory, right?
If a chimp becomes angry, will the chimp grow the next day or the next
Yes,
day?
The answer is yes. That is absolutely true. And we know that, you know, I've seen videos and we've had some folks visit who worked with these chimpanzees in other facilities, and they remember them. So certainly, yeah. We are very much like them. All right. One last question.
How old was the sanctuary?
So really, they got their first chimps in September of 2016. And so it was founded in 2014, but what they had to do was rehab that gorilla sanctuary, because gorillas don't climb, but chimpanzees do. So there was a lot. And you'll see a lot of, there's electrical wire around. It's a low voltage. I touched it myself. It will not hurt them. It is just not fun. So, but we had to put that in place so they can't scale up and over the walls, because we didn't want to enclose that top. We want to keep an open sky. And there's a moment in every chimpanzee's first day outdoors, after they come in, they go through 30-day quarantine, make sure they're healthy and safe. They go outside for the first time. We have videos about this on our YouTube channel. You just look up Project Chimps. There's a moment in every group where one of the chimps looks around and then they go like this. And they realize there's nothing over their head. And it's magical. Thank you.